This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're doing a series called What Makes Up a Strong Christian. Now, here's the thing is we are instructed as believers to be strong. 2 Timothy, I'm going to run through some scriptures with you. 2 Timothy 2, 1, Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Then Paul was also writing to the church at Ephesus. And this was a church, it would be like the church in Conroe. And he writes to them and he says in Ephesus 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And so that indicates when he's talking about being strong, he's saying that strength is, being a stronger Christian is within our reach, it's within our grasp. And that's always important to go over because oftentimes people feel like, well, I don't have what it takes. I can't be a strong Christian. If you allow that thought, which is in error, if you allow it to dominate you, it will hinder your growth. If you think, well, this is not like natural skills and ability. You know, I'm not a singer. I can carry a tune, but I'm not a singer. I told Justin, I said, if I ever come to you and tell you I want to sing a solo, I said, you need to slap me because somebody's gotten in my head and it's wrong. I'm not a soloist. I can carry a tune. I will not embarrass myself. But I recognize I don't have those skills. I don't have that gifting. He does. I see people that are good with their hands. Some of you guys are just, man, you can fix stuff. You can build stuff. And I appreciate that. You're the guy that keeps my house together. Things break around my house, and Joy tells me before she calls someone who can do something about it. I can do about one or two things. I can load the dishwasher, and I can plunge a toilet. That is a gifting. I can unstop a toilet. It's a gift. It's a somewhat dubious gift, but it is a gift. But oftentimes people look at other people, they go, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. And if you're not careful, you do the very same thing spiritually. Well, I know so-and-so, and they're super spiritual, and I can never be like that. Well, who says you have to be like them? And so we're going to talk about what being a strong Christian looks like, and I think it's important that we know what does it look like. Because if you don't know what it looks like, you'll think it's being a strong Christian is maybe having a lot of bumper stickers on your car. I mean, that doesn't necessarily make you a strong Christian. It gives people something to do when they're behind you, but it doesn't make you a strong Christian. So let's talk a little about that. Here's typical factors of what people say. Okay, what's a strong Christian? If you ask people, if you poll them, what would they say? Here's the first thing. They go to church. Strong Christians, they go to church. They're church people. I grew up as a church people, and I appreciate that. My parents did not send me. They took me to church. And at 9 years old, I walked a red-carpeted Baptist aisle with a picture of Calvary behind it. And made a decision for Christ at 9. And I'm crying, and I don't know why I was crying. It's like at 9, you haven't sinned a whole lot, but I just recognized I need Jesus. And I appreciate my parents that took me to church. We were church people. We went on Sundays. We went on Wednesdays. Hey. We went on Sunday nights. Yeah, that's what I thought. Someone said, Alan, why don't we do Sunday night? No, I remember Sunday night. Oh, mercy. I can still remember out playing, and I'm looking at the sun waiting for it. If it dropped below a certain length, I'm like, oh, thank God we're not going tonight. But just about that time, Mom would go, Alan! I'm like, oh. And everybody showed up on Sunday night. Nobody wanted to be there. They'd be like, we're all looking at one another. So this lady is laughing. She went there. She's got you're in therapy talking to somebody about Sunday night. We don't do Sunday night, but I appreciate being at church. I think it helps you. Of course, I'm a believer. You say, well, of course you're a believer. Alan, you're a pastor. You should be a believer in church. No, I'm a believer because I'm a pastor. I know what it can do in your life. And so church, but, just going to church won't make you a strong Christian. It will help you. It'll help. How many of you know sometimes you come in, you feel like, oh, dear Lord, does anybody believe in God? And you come in on a Wednesday night and you're like, oh. You know, I was just thinking, listening to them just worship tonight and worshiping with them, man, that's like cold water just washing over your soul. If you get into worship, it will refresh you. It will just bless your life. So I know, man, what a blessing that is. But it won't make you a strong Christian. How about this? How about praying? Strong Christians pray. People say, well, I pray over my food. That's good. And listen, I don't want to diminish that. It was actually when I worked for about 15 years, I was in outside sales and different jobs. I found that my praying over the food was a witness to some of the people I worked with. We get ready to eat, and finally they looked at me and they'll go, well, they got so used to me praying over the food that, and please, if you're going to do that, please don't make it long. If you're going to be a witness, be a good witness for Pete's sake. Bless the food. Thank the Lord for it. Get on with it before it gets cold. Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody's had lunch with Mr. Take that deep breath. And you're like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And they're like, Lord, thank you. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us, help us. By the way, if we ever go out to lunch together, I'm doing the praying because I don't have time to listen to your whole life in a prayer. We're going to pray and eat. Can be a witness. Here's the last one. Well, my little sister, bless her heart, when she'd say the blessing, the whole restaurant would bow its head. She was loud. You don't have to do it real loud. Just pray over the food. Ability to quote scripture. Does that make you a strong Christian? No, it's a good thing, but not necessarily is going to make you a strong Christian. Some people can quote scripture like a weapon. Some people, the only scripture they know is women submit. You notice I've never taken that for a text either. I just, I'm a whole lot smarter than that. Okay, so here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with these areas. It's just that they're limited. And the challenge is, if you think that's the only thing that makes up a strong Christian, that's the only direction you'll go. And so let me just kind of broaden the perspective. And we saw a couple of things that from Paul, insight from Paul. Here's the first one, is he's writing to the Corinthian church, and this really defines some of the characteristics of what a strong Christian looks like. It's found in 1 Corinthians 16. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all you do be done with love. Now, we've talked about this before, but let me just reiterate it because it's got some characteristics of strong. By the idea of watching, it means you're spiritually alert. Here's another idea, is you don't let down. When you're spiritually alert, all of us have done it. All of us have been there. That we've gone through situations where you have gone through a tough time and you're like, you're on it spiritually. Maybe you've gone through a challenge at home. Maybe you've gone through a challenge in your body and you're like, you're praying, you're in church, you're reading, you're on it spiritually. And then the pressure's off and there's a human tendency to just kind of go. And sometimes you see, you know, things are good. I'm not on it as much. Being watchful means I'm on whether things look good or whether they don't look good. And so strength means I'm not moving by the circumstances. I'm staying alert because I know where I'm living. And I live in a fallen world and it's dark here, and so I'm going to stay on top of things. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. What's that mean? That means that what you believe, you don't get moved off of. Stand fast in the faith. And there's a lot of things that'll move you off. There's media that'll move you off. There's people that'll move you off. There's relatives. There's ex-friends that don't like you as much anymore because you've gone religious. And so one of the things you really have to do, that's why church is such a blessing, is that we're able to encourage one another. Everybody needs Christian friends. And especially if you've just come into Christ, you definitely need Christian friends. Because all your old friends have a mission to see if they can get you off what you believe. They're like, oh, come on, man. You ain't having any fun. I can tell. I can look at you. You're not having any fun. We used to party. You were good. What happened to you? You better come up with something pretty stout right then. So I tell you, the Lord, don't talk about I'm going to church. That's weak. I found religion. That's weaker. to say, hey, I have a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And he's changed my life. I'm going down this path. Yep. Well, I'll just do a bunch of hey, come on with me. Just come. Just try it. Just taste. Just a little bit. Tasting Jesus like good Italian food, man, you'll be back. Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. So, watching, standing fast and firm in your beliefs, facing challenges with courage. The stronger you are, you're able to face difficult situations without flinching as much, without falling apart. Now, if you're going, wow, Alan, I'm not doing good at any of this, here's the good news. You can grow and get stronger. Nobody starts off super Christian. In fact, I'm somewhat skeptical of the idea of super Christian anyway. I don't think they're super Christians. I think they're strong Christians. I think they're Christians who've developed. I think they're Christians who've matured. But no one is a super Christian, and no one's perfect. I know you think Joy is perfect. She's not. Close, but she's not. Okay, and here's the last insight. Walking in love. But we can't miss that one. Paul said, everything you do, do it in love. I'm talking about the feeling. I'm talking about the decision, the action. In fact, that's what the Bible says is a sure sign of maturity. It's a sure sign of strength. So we talked about this. And then we also talked about disclosures from Paul's personal example, Acts the 20th chapter. Again, this has given us some insight. What does a strong Christian look like? They walk in love. They stand fast and firm. Here's what Paul said. He said, none of these things moved me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's a great verse. He knew some hard things were coming. He knew that he was... It had been spoken to the Holy Spirit, had ministered to him through different people, and in his heart, he knew he was going to face some hard times in Jerusalem. He said, but it doesn't move me. Well, that's strength, where you're not as moved by difficult times. So in other words, he's going to go through them, didn't say he liked them, and it says it doesn't cause him to back away from what he believes. He said, none of these things move me. That's a sign of strength. He said, I don't count my life dear to myself. He is not consumed with self. Here's this one. In other words, Paul's saying, pleasing God is more important to me than my own personal comfort and convenience. Now, that doesn't sound exciting, does it? But that's a wonderful way to live. When you can finally get to the place where... And listen, that's a growth process. Because you're Alan, I have all these feelings. Okay, yeah, I got them too. But it doesn't mean we have to give in to them. And I'd rather please God. I'd rather honor Him. I'd rather do what's right. And so Paul says, I'm not as consumed with myself. And he said, I have a strong sense of kingdom purpose. He knew his purpose in life was to advance God's kingdom. Now this is something where, this is so important. Jordan and I had some time away and had some time to spend with my parents, and they're in a home. And every time we go to that home, they're in their 80s, they're well taken care of, it's a clean place, it's a nice place, but one of the things that just prevails in that place is it's a place where people die, and it's a place where people don't have any purpose anymore. And every time, it's hard for me to handle. And I told Joe, I said, no. I said, by the grace of God, I will not go out that way. I said, I've got to have a sense of purpose. And one of the greatest things that you can have, and one of the greatest things that makes this Christian life great, if you can tie your life in to realizing God put me on this earth for a purpose. And that I have a purpose to glorify Him, to honor Him, and to advance His kingdom. That's my purpose. You say, well, Alan, I'm a stay-at-home mom. But your purpose is not just to wade through 6 loads of laundry and change diapers. That's part of your job, but your purpose is you are glorifying God and advancing the kingdom. So how can you do that and do laundry? Lord, I'm doing this laundry in Jesus' name. And I'm going to raise some kids who add to your kingdom, not be a liability to your kingdom. I got a purpose in life, and I'm going to be a part of a church that reaches lost people, and I'm going to tie my life into a kingdom purpose that's bigger than me. Now, you talk about something that will get you energized? Tie your career into a kingdom purpose. Tie your business into a kingdom purpose. Begin to tie your life and say, hey, Jordan and I were talking with the guy, and he's like, well, you come up here every year. We went up to the mountains. Oh, I love the mountains of North Carolina, but I couldn't stay there. After about a week, Jordan and I are like, okay, let's go. Where? Back to the heat, back to the humidity, back to Texas, back to Conroe, where we can do something. Sitting and just relaxing is not my idea of life.
Amen. That's right.
So I'm like, oh, it was beautiful. I'm sitting out there a little chilly in the morning. Drinking coffee, looking out, going, I could stay here for about another 3 days and I'm done. Somebody said, well, Alan, why don't you buy a house up here? I don't want to buy a house up here. Why? Because what I'm doing gives me much more satisfaction than having a beautiful house in the mountains. Reaching people, helping people, reaching lost people. That's great, Alan, but I'm not a preacher. But you can still tie your life into a kingdom purpose. And as you do, I'm telling you something. It makes things in life, it starts to bring perspective to them. Paul had a great perspective. He said, this stuff doesn't bother me. He said, I know what I'm called to do, and I'm going to finish this race. He said, not only am I going to do it, I'm going to do it with joy. I have a built-in advantage. I'm doing my thing with joy. But how about keeping joy? It really is a sign of strength. Here's a great verse, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that verse. That verse says, if I'm believing the right things, if there's some hope in me, then there's going to be some joy in me. How many of you know when you're expecting something good, there's some joy in you? Well, you're, okay. How many of you are going to go on vacation sometime later on this summer? Looking forward to it? You're like, oh yeah. I'm looking. Most people don't come to me and go, Alan, pray for me. What? I got to go on vacation. Why? It's going on vacation, man. It's hard. No, it's not hard. When you're going on vacation, you're like, baby, I'm going on vacation. You're up early. You're ready to go. Why? Because you're expecting something good. When you're expecting something good, there's some joy about you. Psalms 27:13, I love this, said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hey, if you believe that you can see the goodness of God in the land of the living, that does not mean when you get to heaven. That's here. We're in the land of the living. I believe we'll see the goodness of the Lord. That brings some joy. So even in the middle of all the stuff, in the middle of the laundry, in the middle of the business, in the middle of all the stuff that you're doing, in the middle of the heat and humidity, we believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank God. God's called us to this place. It's the fastest growing city in America. He brought us here for a purpose and a reason. We can win lost people to Jesus Christ. And we get a chance to do that. That makes me happy. It brings joy. And joy and strength go together because Nehemiah 18 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy and strength are strong. So let me jump into this last thing. Let's talk about two key ways to develop strength. We're going to go back to Paul. We're going to go back to Acts, the 20th chapter. Paul said, so at 20:32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He said two things. This was his last instructions to the people who are believers at the church in Ephesus. He's leaving. He's going to say something to them. He said, guys, he said, I got one more thing to tell you. He said, I'm going to commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Two key things. I commend you to God. Commend you to God what? You got to have a personal relationship with God. He said, I'm commending you to God and to the Word. Some people say, well, I just want to read my Bible. Listen, that's good. But you need to have a relationship with God. You need to know Him as a Heavenly Father. You need to know Him as someone who is good. And so having a relationship with Him, I love this, knowing Him as the source of our salvation. Wonderful verse in Isaiah. Look at this, Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh, that should be Jehovah. The Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, there's joy again, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What she's saying is when you begin to know, God, you are the source of my salvation, and not only that, you are my strength and you're my song. That's a personal relationship with Him. He's made it available for us to get to know Him. And so as we know Him, we respect Him, it translates into action. And so a relationship with God. People start with, well, I got to pray. You don't got to pray, we get to pray. We get an opportunity. One of the best ways that you can develop a relationship with Him is to talk to Him. And just talk with Him. So what would I tell him? Just talk with Him. One, treat Him like He's real. Two, treat Him like He's important. And treat Him like you respect Him. And so one of the best things you can do is just to worship Him and thank Him and praise Him. That's something you can do in here. That's something you can do out there. But what are you doing? You're talking to the Lord. You're communicating with Him. He said, I commend you to God. A personal relationship with God. That can grow. That can develop. That's wonderful. And then here's the second thing he said. He said a relationship with God's Word, and that's a high valuation of God's Word. In other words, we value God's Word highly. I don't watch a lot of television, but when I do, it's either sports or it's Shark Tank or The Prophet. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank? That's a fun show. I'm always amazed at Shark Tank, at people who value their businesses. They're like, I'm asking for $100,000 for a 10% stake in my business. Okay, so you got a $1 million business. What are your sales? $14.53. I'm like, what in the world? What are you doing? And those sharks just eat them alive. They're like, what? You have valued your business way too high. You don't have it. And boy, they'll eat him up. They're like, no, we'll give you $15 for 50% of your business. You ain't got a business. Go out of here. So, but the psalmist said something. He said this in Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is a wonderful psalm. He says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Amen. So in other words, he said, I value God's word. One of the greatest things that you'll ever begin to do is value God's word. To place a high valuation on God's Word. Because it is alive, it's inspired, it's life. And if we'll stop looking at reading our Bible as a duty and look at it as something that can really put something good in us and bless us, it'll help us. So oftentimes the enemy just he lies, and there's so much deceit has shrouded people. They're like, I don't understand the Bible. I can't read the Bible. Listen, I don't understand everything I read. I don't understand all the nutrients in my food, but I keep eating it. I don't have to break everything out. I'm like, I see that. That looks good. I'm gonna eat it. I don't understand how it breaks down in my body and forms muscle and forms other stuff that you don't want it to form, but it forms. I don't understand all that, but I keep eating it. Listen, you don't have to understand everything, but you have to say, God, I value your word in my life. If you want to be strong, you got to eat right. If you want to be strong, you, for one thing, you got to eat, period. So well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to feed me. You get two meals a week. Most of you eat more than that. Just saying. From a natural standpoint, if you ate two meals a week, you come dragging in here like, what's wrong? I've only had two meals all week. I'm hungry. Well, stay out of our cafe because we ain't going to feed you. But the idea is you got to eat more than that. But you hear people go, I don't want to read my Bible. You want to read your Bible. Oh, yes, you do. You want to. So how do you know? I know because your heart cries out for it. And your spirit goes, feed me. Feed me. Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You got to value God's Word. Because here's what it'll do. It will build you up. Remember we're talking about being stronger? It will build you up because it's going to tell you who you really are. Philemon. Look at this. Or Philemon. The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me just for a second. You won't really know your true identity until you find out who you are in Christ. Amen. You say, well, Alan, I know who I am. I'm a man. I'm a Texan. You know, I'm a man's man. Yeah, yeah. But who are you in Christ? And who you are in Christ is what's going to build you and make you stronger as a Christian. When you begin to find out that you're no longer separated from God because of Jesus, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. When you find out that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death, that starts to change you. And you start to begin to get a different perspective of who you are. And when you begin to understand who you are, there's a lot of stuff you won't take anymore. When you understand, wait a minute, hold a second, hold on a second. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And then when that oppressing fear starts to wrap itself around you, you're going to stop and go, no, that doesn't belong to me anymore. I'm part of a different family. I belong to God. He's made me a new creation in Him. Old things have passed away, and fear does not dominate my life anymore. And you begin to, and listen, you won't put up with it in your kids. Your kids will come in, they're like, I'm scared. And you're like, you don't have to be scared because God is with you. And if God is with you, there's no one that can be against you. And what do you do? You're starting to find out who you are. And man, when you find out who you are, it's a powerful thing. There was a movie years ago, it was called The Ugly Dachshund. Anybody remember that movie? It was a long time ago. It was in the 60s. I was there. Yeah, it was good. Ugly Dachshund was about a Great Dane who was raised with dachshunds. Weenie dogs. You know what I'm talking about? Weenie dogs. Great Danes. You know what those are, right? Huge. I had one growing up. Had two of them. Big dogs. Weighed 150 pounds. He could put his paws on my shoulders, look me dead in the eye with his doggy breath. It was nasty. But he was a big dog. But this movie was about this Great Dane who was raised with dachshunds. And so the dachshunds would scoot under the fence, and the Great Dane, he crawled on his belly just like a dachshund, and he would go under the fence. He wouldn't jump over the fence. The dachshunds would run from things, and the Great Dane would run from things. And one day, the Great Dane, they took him out to like a dog show, and he saw other Great Danes. And he had a dog revelation. This is a movie, but bear with me, all right? Now, let's say he had a dog revelation, and the revelation was he wasn't a dachshund. He was a Great Dane. And he stood up, and he began to walk like a Great Dane, and he jumped over fences instead of going underneath them because he found out who he was. So many Christians are living dachshund lives when they're Great Danes on the inside because they do not know who they are. And you've got to find out from the Bible. Don't let mama tell you who you are. Don't let your ex tell you who you are. Don't let your coach tell you who you are. It's the Bible that tells you who you are in Christ. And when you begin to know who you are in Christ, you're going to stop running from some things, and you're going to stand up to some things, and you're going to stop putting up with some stuff, and you're going to go, no, I know who I am in Christ, and this situation is changing in Jesus' name. Dachshund no more. But you need a revelation like that Great Dane got a revelation. That's why Paul said, I commend you to God, your loving Heavenly Father, and to the word of His grace. His grace is His power and ability on your behalf. It has built you up and changed your life in Christ. And it will build you. And you begin to find out some things, and Bubba, things start changing. Because you're getting stronger in Him. It's available for everybody. Will you bow your heads with me? If you came this evening and said, Father, it's Alan, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I know it. He knows it. But I want to. I want to come back. Or I want to come to Him for the very first time. I need that relationship with Him to be right. If that's you tonight and you would like our prayers, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but if that's you, would you slip your hand up just across this auditorium and say, Alan, would you pray for me? I want to get, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Just say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, got you. Way in the back. Way in the back. Wonderful. Sure. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You thought, is it possible that I can have a life with God? Yes, it is. Jesus made it possible. All you're going to do is receive Him. You're not joining a church. You're connecting to the one who loves you more than anyone. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray this prayer together. We're going to pray it out loud. I'm going to ask church family just to join you. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. And Father, for all of us, thank You for the capacity we have as we value Your Word and Your Spirit in our life to build us up and to give us an inheritance. Father, all that You plan for us, we thank You. It starts with salvation, but it does not stop there. And we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.